Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-T. Live from the home studios, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
I'm curious to see how much this offensive lineman will weigh when Mario Cristobal and the strength and conditioning people get done with him at Oregon. Curious to see how that unfolds. Like, does a guy who goes 360, does he come in and does he end up around 330, 340? I don't know. I think if these strength and conditioning coaches ever get bored with getting offensive linemen and defensive linemen in shape, I think that what they could do is get a job or get a gig trying to get regular folks in shape. Hold camps. What do you weigh? All right, I come in at 209. We'll get you down to 185. Who wouldn't pay for that? Our next guest, the mayor of Rip City, as coined on this show once upon a time, legendary voice of the Portland Trail Blazers, ambassador for the team, man of the world, 91 years old, Bill Shonley joining us live via satellite. Shons, how are you, my friend?
Good afternoon, John. Thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to our conversation, not only to you, but all the good folks out along the line.
How are you doing? I need to know how you're doing. How are you holding up? What has the last year been like for the Shons?
Well, at one point, I was 6'9", 400 pounds.
Love it.
Not now, this guy that you were talking about, he beat me. That's incredible. That reminds me of the Los Angeles Rams, Rosie Greer. If you're an old timer, you remember that name. He was huge. But this kid, 6'9", whatever, what was it, 400 pounds?
360.
Oh, 360. Well, okay.
Let me ask you. You've been around a lot of big guys in the NBA. Who was the most physically imposing player that you ever looked out onto the court and just stood out to you?
Well, when first he came into the league, Shaquille O'Neal, when he was in Orlando, he stood out wherever he went, and he still does. There weren't too many big guys like that who you could bounce off of. But those names come to mind.
Your time as a broadcaster, I know you started out in baseball and in hockey, and you eventually, through the grace of God and meeting Harry Glickman, you end up coming to call basketball in the NBA. Did you think at the time that this was going to be like, you know, hey, Shons, this is what you're going to do for the next, 70 years or so? Or was it just a year-to-year thing when it first started?
No, I was absolutely flabbergasted when it happened. I was up in Seattle at the time and doing all the things, the Husky football and hockey and AAA baseball, and then all of a sudden I became one of the broadcasters for the Seattle Pilots of the American League. And I really thought when I got that at a very young age that I was going to be in baseball for the rest of my life. Got to be a Major League Baseball broadcaster. That's the top of the line. And then the city of Seattle couldn't hold on to the Pilots. They didn't have a new stadium. The Kingdome wasn't on the boards yet at the time. So the American League took the Pilots away from Seattle and put them in Milwaukee, where the former commissioner, Bud Selig, had the Milwaukee Braves. He lost the Milwaukee Braves. They became the Atlanta Braves, and then the city of Seattle was without Major League Baseball. I had a chance, John, to go to Milwaukee with the ball team and work for that organization, but I decided to stay in Seattle. My radio and TV work up there was, at the time, was going pretty well, so I stayed. I had known Harry Glickman through our hockey association. I was doing the Seattle Totems for years and years, and he, have, of course, had the Portland Buckaroos. And we met one another a number of times, and we had great rivalries, Seattle and the Buckaroos. And the old-timers remember all those games. And he called me up, and he said in his big, deep voice, "Sean, how would you like to do NBA basketball?" Well, I was doing everything else at the time in my life, but I wasn't doing basketball. I had done some Husky basketball in high school, but I was involved in everything else. The National Hockey League, you go right down the line, I was involved. So that sounded pretty good. So he said, "Well, come on down and we'll talk." So I came down to Portland many, many years ago, in 1970, as a matter of fact. So we go back that far. And I went over to his office in the Lloyd Center, and we sat down and talked about 5 or 6 minutes. We shook hands. Nothing on paper. We shook hands, and the rest is history. I've been around ever since. That's in a nutshell.
Can you imagine, had you gone to, you go with Milwaukee, is it possible you and Bob Uecker end up calling games?
That was a possibility, yeah.
You know?
Bob was doing some of the Milwaukee games at the time, and he stayed in Milwaukee instead of going to Atlanta with the ball club. And he was the next guy, and there was another broadcaster, and my old mind forgets his name, and he wasn't going to do it. So I could have been that other guy. That's true. But I neglected to stay in Seattle.
Bill Shonley with us, legendary Blazers broadcaster, ambassador for the franchise. You mentioned Harry Glickman. It made me think about all the people who have passed. Jerome, Kevin Duckworth, Maurice Lucas, Paul Allen,
yes.
Even. You've been here. Yeah. And it's part of life, right? People age. But, you know, what do you know as a 91-year-old that maybe you didn't know it, even as a 70-year-old or 50-year-old? And, you know, how much do you learn as you start to get up there in towards the 90s?
Well, as of the moment, I've outlasted them all. They're gone, and bless their souls, and I'm still here. I tell people I don't go to weddings anymore. I'm always going to funerals. That's tough to say, but that seems to be what life is right now. And I miss going to the Blazer games right now. I miss traveling myself. I know it's time for somebody else. I did my time. I gave my life to this, from most of my broadcasting life, to this franchise. Started in 1970, and they still have me around, and I want to do whatever I can for them. But I miss those days, and especially now, because they don't travel with the ball club, going to the games at the Moda Center, being with the people, being with the sponsors, having people come up to me and ask me all sorts of questions. And that part of life I miss, but it's not in the cards. As I mentioned a moment ago, it's now time for somebody else.
You also got to be careful in a pandemic. You know, I know even my parents in their 70s, I'm telling them, hey, stay home, you know. But for somebody like yourself, you're so social, right? So much of that, you spend a lot of time kissing babies and shaking hands and posing for photos. It's got to be tough, right? Mr. Mayor, it's got to be tough to not have that.
I miss kissing those babies. young or old. No. I miss the camaraderie and having a restaurant over at the Moda Center and go down to Shanley's place. And I enjoy the game. I'm not around the players as much anymore. And I know why, for of course, nobody's going to the Moda Center. And we have a lot of our employees at the Moda Center who are not able to get to their former office spots. or whatever they're doing, and they're doing it from home or wherever. And I miss that part. I don't know how much longer I can do this. You know, I'm 91, coming up to 92. But I don't feel too bad. I've got hip problems and walking problems, and things are getting worse and worse as time goes on. But I'm ready. If somebody needs me to do something, I'll do my best to do it.
I need you on the show. We need you to, you know, I love that, you know, I tweeted out that you were coming on the show, and Damon Stoudemire, you know, remembered being in his living room as a kid.
Damon Stoudemire, I did his first interview on a Blazer broadcast when he was in Toronto. And the young guy didn't want to come on with me. He said, no, you don't want to talk to me. Well, we've made it and everything. And he's been a good friend, and I'm really proud of him. He's doing a great job where he is right now.
Give me an idea. Like, let's go back to the 70s. You spent a lot more time as a broadcaster around players, and you'd have meals with these guys. You'd travel with them. You were on the plane with them. How close did you get with, you know, Maurice Lucas and Jerome and, you know, Bill Walton even back in the day?
Well, in those days, it was much different than it is right now. We were all one family. And when we first started, and I went around for many years, it was the Blazers. It was a coach, an assistant coach, a trainer, and me. That was it at the time. And I became friends with all these players who have passed the scene and in a Blazer uniform. I had no problem with them. I know some of them had their problems. There's no question about that. But they sort of took me under their wing, especially in the very early days. And that's the way it was. And I went around the state and promoted the team. I went to nooks and crannies, you name it, from the John Days on down the line. And I've been there at least once over the years. I miss doing some of that. But again, I know now it's time for somebody else to do it. I did it my way, and let's see what happens.
You could still do it, though, couldn't you? Like, if we put you on a broadcast today, you know, I know there's a lot of homework that goes into it, but you have talent that doesn't go away when you stop doing it. You probably watch games still, and you could still kind of, in your mind, do the play-by-play, can't you?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I'm watching it on television, and after a while, I find myself doing the play-by-play in my head. It's just what I did for years and years and loved it. And I did it my way. That's all I can tell you.
All right, I'm going to play a cut. I want you to listen to it. This is Game 2, 1977, NBA Finals, Blazers, 76ers.
Into Gilliam, put it up, doesn't drop. Dawkins the rebound, along with Bob Bruce. And now Daryl Dawkins. Oh, look at Ramsey. He will.
What I love about that, Sean's, is you go right.
Oh my gosh! There was so many things were going on at that time. So many punches were being thrown. I could not keep up with it. All happened so quick. And I did what I could at the time. I know I was screaming there at the time, but if you were there and seeing the horrendous things that were going down on the floor in front of me at the old Spectrum in Philadelphia, I will never regret it. It was a big part of my life, yes.
You went right into boxing play-by-play, though. That's what I love about it. Like, a play-by-play broadcaster is a play-by-play broadcaster. You could have called boxing. You could have called bowling. It didn't matter.
Well, I did some boxing. I never did bowling. Well, the bowling wouldn't be too hard. But, you don't get into fisticuffs in a bowling alley. I don't think so. I did wrestling. time.
Bill Shonley, the mayor of Rip City, is our guest. Shons, you were on that team plane coming back from Philadelphia. It's 1977. Yep. You guys are down in this series, 2-0. You make a comeback and you win the series. Did you have a feeling as you were returning on that flight that something had shifted, or when did that occur to you?
Well, it had shifted when we come back. Losing the first two games back in Philadelphia, that was very, very tough. That flight coming from Philadelphia back to Portland to get the next two games at home, by the time we arrived in Portland, I felt a difference in the traveling party. And then the people at the airport. Then to take the next two games and tie the series 2-2, the Blazers were not going to lose that series. And they go back to Philadelphia, annihilate the 76ers, and then come back home in that huge crowd at the airport in that Sunday afternoon on a gorgeous 90-degree day, shortly after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Blazers win the world championship. They were number one. It was awesome. And the folks who were there that day or who listened to me or watched on CBS will remember it as well. It was an awesome time to be around.
Shons, I've had Bill Walton on this show, and he talked about Dr. Jack Ramsey and Bobby Gross. I'm going to play a clip from Walton. But you were around these guys.
And he would say, Bobby, this is you. Run, run, run. I need you, Bobby, to be relentless. And that was Bobby. And it was tough on Bobby because for all my sins and for all my crimes against humanity, and Maurice, Lionel, we were all there. But Jack, he always took it out on Bobby. And so whenever things would go wrong, he would just, Bobby, what's going on here? And you'd throw Bobby out of practice. And Bobby would say, what did I do? And Jack would just say, just get going.
You were there. What made Dr. Yep. Jack great at what he did?
Well, he was, number one, he was a fine human being. Number two, he could coach basketball. He just loved it. And he had a way. He showed the way. In fact, in many times, in practices, he would do it to show the guys, that's what I wanted you to do. Yeah, he got on Bobby Gross a little bit and some of the other guys. But during the game, he was right there. He pulled the strings. He got it right. He was an outstanding man, and I miss him dearly. We spent, about almost 11 years here together, and became dear friends. And I think saying those things, Walton would say the same thing about Dr. Jack.
There is some catchphrases. There are catchphrases. I want to go through them a little bit. I've done this before, but let's start with this
one. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Here we go.
Jams it! Bingo, bango, bongo. Yes, sir.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Bongo, yeah. Well, that really started, I guess, that came out in a broadcast. It was not planned. A lot of the things that I said over the years was that they were not planned. But bingo, bango, bongo, if you're out playing golf and you hit, the next guy hits, and the next guy puts it in the cup, it's bingo, bango, bongo. So that's where that came from. And so as far as the basketball game was concerned, you inbound the ball from the end zone to someone. He takes it he gives it to the other guy, and he scores. Easy.
Here's another one. Here's another Bill Shonley classic.
Rexter on the inbound play. They got to get rid of it. Got to get rid of it. Back out to Cliff Robinson. Cliff Robinson to Clyde. Checking the shot clock. Cliff goes underneath. Bounce pass to Ainge. Ainge for three. Rip!
Rip City.
Rip City. It came out in the early days. It took a little while to catch on, But over the years, look what has transpired with that phrase. I go around the country, and people call me now. They say, "How's Rip City?" They just said, instead of saying, "How are things in Portland?" they'll say, "How is Rip City?" I'm just flabbergasted at the way that phrase finally took off. It took a little while. It means something good. And so I left it in there. I didn't use it for every basket or anything like that. The odd big free throw, yeah, you know, if it meant something for the game, I would throw it in there. But a radio station has uses Rip City Radio. Our organization is Rip City Inc. There's Rip City this, there's Rip City that. And I'm proud of that fact. Everybody's making money but me.
Yeah, you should have trademarked it.
Yeah, well, you know, we did have it in the early days. I had it trademarked, but gentlemen that worked with me, we had a little public relations thing going on, and we got so busy with other things, and I was traveling and everything, we forgot to pay the bill to keep it, so we lost Rip City.
And, Bill Shunt,
go ahead.
No, you go.
Then I can remember after the Rip City was gone, Dottie and went out and driving down Barbara Boulevard, and a car pulled up next to us, and it had Rip City plates on there. I had Rip City plates, but they were stolen from me. Three times I've had my license plate stolen. They can't get the ones that are on there now unless they got a cannon. That I know.
You got them welded to the bumper?
Yes, exactly. But the lady came up, and it was a nice day. We rolled down the windows, and she said, "Hi, Shots, how are you?" I said, "Oh, well, thank you very much." And she said, "You know, I've got Rip City on my plates, I mean on my car, and I should not have them. You should. I'm going to take them off, and you we'll make arrangements, and you get your Rip City plates back." And lo and behold, she did, and I've had them ever since.
Sean's, you know, I am hopeful that we'll see fans back in arenas, and you'll get a chance to be on the concourse and
hug people.
High-five people and take photos. You know, what are you doing now? How is your health now? How active are you, and how safe do you feel? Have you been vaccinated?
I have. I'm legal. We got both shots, both Donnie and I. So I feel good about that. I'm even going to get a flu shot. I'm not going to take any chances.
Double down.
Double down. Well, my day, let's see, John. Now that I can't get into the Motor Center, can't go to my office, I can't do this and I can't do that. So, I'm practically bored because I've always been active. Now, I know I'm going on 92 and things are going to slow down for me. But my day is I get up in the morning, I get breakfast ready for Dottie and myself. Then I take the trash out each and every morning. I make the bed and any other little things like that. Go out and see if the flowers need some water or whatever it is. Maybe I'll go to lunch with a guy. I try and take a nap in the afternoon. And then we watch the news, or I'll watch some games, obviously, all of our games and whatnot. And that's about it in a nutshell. That's not too thrilling.
No, but you know what? You're welcome on this show anytime. You know that. And I would love to have you on more regularly, keep you busy. And
that's
you know,
fine with me. Call me.
All right. We'll call you and have you on. Hey, Sean's, before I cut you loose, anything you want to say to Blazer fans and your fans in general who are listening?
Well, to all the folks that are tuned our way this afternoon, I miss you all. I miss the days when we began and put this franchise together. Your mother, your father, your grandparents, and you now were also good to me. I tried to give it my best back into the community with all the things that I have been involved. And I hope that I put some enjoyment from time to time in a Blazer broadcast or whatever else that I was doing. I thank you all very, very much. I've met so many wonderful people. They have been good to me. I tried to return the same feelings, and I thank you all.
I want to say, you know, on behalf of myself, on behalf of a lot of the listeners, people tweeting at me, people texting me, Sean's, you know, you are a tentpole of that NBA franchise, and not just of the franchise, of the sports scene in the state. So I want you to keep doing what you do. I want you to come on the show anytime you want and reach out. And of course, I want to see you back in the arena. I mean, we got to get you back in the arena, and we got to get, you know, fans around you in the arena. So keep doing what you do, Sean's.
Okay, well, everybody wear a mask, get your shots, and then maybe in the next month or two, that's going to happen. I'll be there to lead the way.
There it is, Bill Shonley. Thank you, sir. There he is, Sean's. I want your comments on that interview. 503-417-7575. We'll spend some time talking about it. I'll tell you what jumped out at me. Something in particular jumped out at me, and I want to know what your takeaways are. You got the bald-faced truth. Well, you heard from Bill Shonley, the mayor of Rip City, 91 years old. I want your takeaways. What did you hear? What did you think? What did you feel? Let's go to David in Astoria. Phone number is 503-417-7575. David, lead us off.
Well, I just wanted to say thanks for having Sean's on. He's always a treat to have on. It's great to see him doing as well as he's doing. And it was a special time in Portland, special time for the Blazers, for a special time for the town. And he's the epitome of the better angels of our nature for Rip City. Thanks for having him.
You bet. You know, and I have talked to him several times over the last few weeks. And, you know, it's challenging amid a pandemic, and you're talking with a 90-year-old person. Like, I didn't want to bring him into the studio. He wasn't comfortable, I think, you know, in certain settings, but before being vaccinated. So I think it's been an interesting time for us all, but especially if you're a 91-year-old person who is, you know, derives a lot of his joy and value and meaning and purpose from being at Blazer games, and there's no Blazer games. So I wanted to bring him on. I know he wanted to come on very badly. He wished he could have been in person, but I just loved hearing his voice and hearing the stories. Kelly's in Eugene. Kelly, go ahead.
Hi, that was so sweet. I loved it. I wanted to call and say thank you as well. And my takeaway is, I don't know, some of the Blazers need to, like, go in front of his house and bounce the basketball around and set up a hoop and do a little game for him. And I don't know, somebody needs to invite him to a wedding, maybe even go to his house and get married in front of his house or something like that. But that was darling, and thank you. And that's probably one of the coolest perks of your job. Thanks,
yeah,
John.
I appreciate that. And look, I got to tell you, like, he wanted to come on the show. Like, there's some guests where we spend some time kind of tracking them down. The minute I reached out to Bill Shonley, he was like, when? You know, it was like, you could tell it's a little bit of, you know, give him a little purpose. Give him a little opportunity to connect with you. He misses you guys. Brian's in Milwaukee. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, John, great job. And almost cried listening to Bill. I grew up, I'm 65. I grew up listening to all that stuff. But you know what? Bill Shonley is the Blazers. Portland. He's Portland. He's past the Blazers. And he is, it's a godsend that he ended up here. So that's what my opinion is.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think, you know, you talk about careers that people have and kind of the winding way that the world works. him simply talking about his time as a baseball or a hockey broadcaster, it's not that unthinkable to imagine that had he taken a different path, he'd be the Shans in some other city calling baseball or hockey. Red is in Milwaukee as well. Red, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. I listened to your show when you first started, and you were talking about the slam dunk. The next time you have the Shans on, write a note and be sure and ask him about Billy Ray Bates.
Yeah.
He played for the Blazers before the slam dunk contest, and they ran an out-of-bounds play one time with 0.3 seconds left, took it out of bounds, and I don't remember who it was, but he threw a two-handed over-the-head pass at the basket, and everybody thought, what the heck's going on? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes this Bates. The story was, I never saw it happen, but I guess he could take a quarter off the top of a backboard, and he stood 6'5".
Yeah.
So I'm sure Shans could tell a lot of Billy Ray Bates stories.
I will ask him the next time I have him on, and we won't wait that long. Kurt's in Eugene, listening on Fox Sports Eugene. Kurt, go ahead.
Hey, buddy. So Shans is always going to bring me back to my childhood. His voice is so distinctive. And as a little kid growing up, I don't know if you had one or not, but I had one of those little tiny transistor radios, just a little tiny thing, and it had a little plastic dial on the side of the transistor radio. And I didn't even have to – I could do it in the dark. I could reach down and roll that little dial until I heard Shans' voice, and then I knew the Blazers were on. It was so exciting to get some kind of a sporting event on the radio in the middle of the week. You usually had to wait till the weekend for high school football or basketball, but you could catch the NBA and Shans and the Blazers on your little transistor radio, you know, on different nights of the week. So just brought back lots of memories to have him on, so thanks for that.
Yeah, you bet. And look, I love connecting with him, and I'm one of these people, like, you know, you guys know, I was close with my grandfather who was in his 90s. I just think that there's a generation of people who have lived before us, and oftentimes senior citizens get dismissed. They get pushed aside. They get looked past. And I think it's important for us all to stop and listen. It's why I asked him the question about what do you know now that you didn't know when you were 70, you know, when you were 50. I think it's so important to pay attention to that kind of stuff and the things that we can learn, because we're, you know, we're all going to be there at some point, hopefully, like, knock on wood. I'd like to see 91, 92. I'd like to get there. And, you know, I noticed Shans used to make the joke. He used to say, hey, you know, they won a championship in my lifetime, and they better hurry up if they're going to win another one. He stopped making the joke.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.